Everyone say it.
Yes. Oop, ee, orc, I heard that.
Ooh, ee, ooh,
You know it. Now you know that song.
Why am I ding dong? Hello. You'll have to work out what we do there because I can't post it. Hello. Welcome to the Mac Show. Yes, we're here to discuss the week in Apple, all the shiz that's gone on with the world's largest ever company that ever existed. Ish. Joining me, fantastic panel, absolutely awesome panel. Starting this off, Brian is coming. Brian, TMO Brian, we got our wires crossed. I thought he was on a call until 7.30, so we've waited for him. He didn't start the call till 7.30, so he's coming as long as we get going at some point. So we'll get to it. But Adam's here.
Hey.
How you doing in the broom cupboard, mate?
I'm hanging out. I'm good.
How's Gordon the gopher?
A little bright in here, it looks like.
No, don't do that. It's me. How's Gordon the gopher?
How's what?
Gordon the gopher.
Gordon the gopher.
Yeah.
I'm losing the reference.
You need to Google Gordon the gopher, the broom cupboard. Okay?
Yeah. That got lost in translation.
No. You won't. You'll get it, mate. You'll get it. As soon as you see it, you'll be there next week with your hand up something. Next to him, it's Doc.
I'm just laughing at with the hand up something. I'm assuming this is a puppet that requires some ventriloquy.
I'll say no more. You just have to go and Google it. How the devil are you, pal?
Good, man. Good. Keeping busy. Playing with my 3D printer. Thank you so much for those settings. It changed my life.
Yeah, it's cool, isn't it?
I stopped wasting PLA.
Yeah. No, thanks, mate. It's made the way. The thing is, we're going to go on about 3D printing for about the next 3 months. So if you're fed up of it, just unsubscribe. Because it is awesome. I've printed useful stuff. So I've printed. So like we're really really close to 3 Mac Minis now on the accumulator, and I've printed feet for them all, so that you can stand them vertically in the cupboard underneath here. And I've done that on my 3D printer. It's awesome. It's great. It's fantastic.
So.
Wheater said the other day, have you printed anything useful? Yes. And I said, yes, I printed something that made my daughter smile.
There you go.
That's all it took. Next to him, from Koblenz, the bloke who won't get off his ass to come for a beer with me if I go to Nuremberg, Patrice Brendamore.
Hey.
Hello, mate. How the devil are you?
I'm really, really great today. I had the day off, went for a little bike ride, went for a walk, had some ice cream, so... You can see.
Because it's Father's Day.
It's Father's Day over here, yes.
Did you see your father?
No, he's not alive anymore, so.
Oh, okay, sorry, mate.
That didn't work.
No.
That would have been weird.
No, you just taking advantage of the fact then. You should have gone to
something
work.
Something like that. No, I just enjoyed the day.
I was going to
say. He will get a call that says he has a kid some point in time.
Yes.
I was going to take the piss, but I won't now because it'd be churlish. Last but by no means least, it's Sonic Boom Boy.
Evening.
Shit your pants, champion.
Yeah. One hell of a banger in the week.
Has your whip it recovered yet, mate?
No, slept right through it.
I'm impressed that your wife didn't hit the far wall with the birth fluid.
I'll tell you what, I thought baby were coming early when that big bang went off.
You know that's not how it happens, right?
Yeah. Just.
It's a slow leakage.
That's what she said.
Yeah. But Camps has been conned into fitting carpet as well. And she sprayed the pregnancy card for it as well.
Yeah. So we started decorating one bedroom. Now we're doing all four.
You've interlaced all new twigs around the nest.
Yeah. I'm firmly just doing as I'm told right now.
The shiz that's gone on this week with Apple, all the stuff that's happened. Well, the LA murder trial has unlocked an iPhone, but we're not covering that because I've had enough of that kind of crap, so we're done. And it was an older OS, allegedly. Carl Icahn seems to think that he's back in high school. Because if that's not a high school portrait, I don't know what is.
Looks a little bit...
This boy has no chance of making it in the future.
Nope.
It's a rich man.
He looks like the beer guy. Getting the ladies.
It's not Carl Icahn, is it? No.
He looks like the Dos Equis guy.
It does look like the Dos Equis guy.
Who the hell is Dos Equis? Did he work for the Russians?
No, Dos Equis.
Oh, right.
Two X's.
It's Spanish.
The guy from the commercials.
What commercials? You're still talking foreign.
You guys don't get Mexican beer over there.
Dos Equis is a Mexican beer, and he's the coolest man in the world, in theory.
Well, Icahn's not. So how did you get mixed up?
No, because he looks like him.
I'll drop you a picture.
You got to see the Dos Equis commercials even on YouTube, because they're pretty funny. They're some of the best advertising ever. Like, this guy is supposed to be so cool. His mom has a tattoo that says son.
So way cooler than Carl
Icahn. I thought this was actually sent.
Caution, this page go. Is sending you to a meme generator.
Sorry.
So Carl Icahn, who was not person most least likely to succeed at high school, is a billionaire, and he sold all his Apple stock. We no longer have a position in Apple, Icahn told CNBC's Power Lunch on Thursday, noting Apple is a great company and Tim CEO is doing a great job.
Yep.
But he worries a bit because of China's attitude. And it's all to do with this thing about China saying that the iPhone trademark is gone.
Well, keep in mind, he sold it at the top and then he's going to, he'll buy back in at some point.
And he has made, I don't know how many billions.
About 2 billion out of Apple stock is the articles I've read.
God. Good on him.
He owns around 1% of Apple shares.
I bought some Apple stock with my retirement plan, some of my retirement plan money, and I thought about right before the announcement came out selling as it was around 120 or so. And I kicked myself because I should have, and then I would have just bought back in because it was obvious it wasn't going to drop. So I think everybody knew when Apple announced the down month that there was going to be a drop in the stock. But most places still have overweight ratings on the stock, and it's still expected by most people to go back up.
Yeah, even Carl Icahn said that he expects it to go up, and it's still a good investment. It's just, with the amount of money he is managing, he said that, it's too big of a risk.
And I'll just throw the disclaimer, I am not a money manager or a financial person, and you should not listen to anything that I say. In terms of financial advice.
Yeah, because Carl sold and you still got yours.
Exactly.
Exactly.
I think just like Patrice said, I can say that the stock's probably worth double where it currently is. So he clearly sees that there's going to be some big increase in the future. So I think he's right. Sell at that price, probably buy back in, probably buy back in quite big soon, and then hold it until it just rises again.
Yeah, definitely. No. I mean, he is interested in making money, and with the pull he has, he can manipulate even to a certain degree.
That's why he's a multi-billionaire from doing this.
Yes.
Hello, Brian.
Hello. Sorry to be late. Good to be here.
Lost in translation, without a doubt. He was speaking American English. Paul Wheatley was talking Scottish and English leaving at 7:30 turned into starting at 7:30. We're talking about Paul Icahn? No, Carl Icahn dumping all his stock. And more importantly, the iPhone trademark disappearing in China.
That suit is so hilarious. It cracks me up. But at the same token,
it should shit you up as well.
Yeah, but I mean, I was expecting this to happen. China doesn't care. They will do whatever they want.
Is this just local laws, or are they taking the piss?
Honestly, though, in one sense, you say the China laws don't care. If that suit panned out as it panned out in the U.S., they still might get away with it. But the one part that's a little fishy is Apple applied in, 2002, and they didn't get an answer for, almost 10 years. And the Chinese company applied in, I believe, 2002, and they got their thing set in 2007. Right. So 5 years. So the funny part is, why did Apple's one take so long? But if you were, first of all, I don't think you would possibly be able to get one here because it's so non-related and you were definitely taking a bite off of something that you knew was happening. So it depends on the judge. Ours would be a judgment call. But because they're two total different industries, you could probably get away with it here if the judge was not a stickler for details.
I think you got your dates a little off. Somebody else can correct me if I'm wrong. I seem to remember that the Chinese company actually filed for the trademark in 2007, It may have been right after
and
the
they got it in 2010.
And they got it in 2010.
Right. Apple applied in like way prior to 2007 and they didn't get it until like 2013. And right. the judge said that they weren't prevalent enough yet in China at that time. If I remember
correctly. I mean, that's a good point. They really weren't.
No, when did they weren't. Even they weren't. Make, that's what I'm saying. So I think that could also lead, and Patrice said, you know, it's a China thing. I think that could pass here in the U.S., but many a judge would be like, okay, now you're just pulling teeth. So no, we're not going to give it to you.
I think it's BS, but I mean, it's China. What are you going to do?
No, and I think this just jumps on the back of when you look at what China have done recently with books and with movies. They're protecting their own companies. The Chinese companies are getting basically the first dibs on the lot. So there's no surprise for me at all here.
Yeah, but I mean, that's nothing.
I missed the part where you were discussing Carl Icahn, but this is the sort of thing precisely that Carl Icahn was worried about.
Yeah,
and when you put that in context with the fact that he had $2 billion in profits to lock up, the piece I wrote was that he was not wrong to sell Apple for the reasons that he sold Apple.
Yeah.
I think there's a certain part of the fact that I mean, there's a comment we made in the chat room that Carl Icahn is only interested in manipulating the share stocks of Carl Icahn, and he's got enough of a stock that he would change the market if he sold stuff and announced that he was going to sell stuff. Is he still on the board of Apple, though?
He was never on the board.
He was never.
Oh, he's not. No. He's never right. I thought he was on the board of Apple, but because he'd have had to declare that, wouldn't he, as an intention 6 weeks prior to doing it. So, no, interesting. Apple's down 99 cents, so that'll shit his pants. So there we go. there's a certain element of... I don't want to take this to too big an argument or discussion, but within the global brand market, there is an awful lot of countries whose companies that they should be protecting are losing out because of global brand identity. And I grant you absolutely that those companies have not manufactured anything which is even close to the brand identities that the other companies have manufactured in the States or in the UK or anywhere else. And you know, when you want your country to look after its own grown business, then it surely stands to reason that if you're looking somewhere that's as deregulated as China, this was bound to happen.
Yeah, but I mean, we have basically a very similar situation in Brazil, for example, where they are trying to protect their own companies, and I mean, they are not producing the devices that the consumers, even in those countries, want. They can't probably. So it's not limited to China, to be honest.
I mean, if China were duplicating the entire iPhone absolutely and not calling it the iPhone and protecting it, you might have a tad more sympathy, but the brand identity, the word iPhone is something that you know, okay, every mother and his son has put iPhone, I something in front of everything that they do. you know, Justine Azeric is I Justine on Twitter. So, I mean, everyone went through a phase of doing it, and a lot of companies went through a phase of doing that. But Apple did, you know, I think that's the interesting point, that we released the iPhone, and then this company says, we want iPhone in China the day after. There has to be a line internationally that draws.
For leather goods, too. It just doesn't even make any connection. That's the part that's so strange about this case.
Well, it's searches. It's nothing else but searches, because it's not going to be brand identity in a store.
Yeah.
If you search on google.ch, you're going to get leather goods at the same time as you get Apple goods. That's it.
Well,
I have a picture that I'll look and see if I can find it, but there's a restaurant. I believe the proper name of it is CFC in China, but it's basically a chicken restaurant. But when you walk by, here it is. The thing looks exactly like KFC, and they changed it now. They put a chicken, but they used to have a dude on the front. And when you see the dude, he's strikingly like a Bruce Lee version of Colonel Sanders. It's pretty funny.
Didn't I hear something about a chain that's very similar to the Waffle House that basically is an old Waffle House? I don't know.
Yeah,
restaurants.
Sounds about right. Like, it's really, really funny. And the crazy part is the actual CFCs, which is a relatively large chain, they get knocked off by these other people that make these other COCs. It's pretty hilarious.
Chinese fried chicken with Colonel San Hao.
You saw it, right? You found China, the picture?
No, I'm joking, but I made
Western companies and U.S. companies in particular, the tech companies, is that China feels differently about intellectual property.
Right.
You know, there's been a lot of modernization in the last, I don't know, seven, 8 years, but the country's IP laws lag far behind as it is, and enforcement lags even further behind. And a lot of that stems from the fact that they think about it differently than we do.
Yeah.
And they're not as interested in the capitalist notion of protecting the person that comes up with the idea, especially when it's someone from outside of China. And this is always going to be an issue for Apple. This is always going to be an overhang from the fake Apple stores to the stores that actually exist to sell the fake Apple stores merchandise with Apple logos and whatnot. I mean, just do you remember the Apple stove?
No.
There was a stove with an Apple logo on it. We did a roundup several years ago of a lot of products with Apple's logo on them that obviously had nothing to do with Apple. And one of them was a stove about I don't know, about this big with an Apple logo on it. I mean, this is going to be an issue for everyone that is not from China doing business in China for decades to come, if not in perpetuity.
I think there's another issue as well. I mean, I watched a program about China on the BBC, and it was a podcast, actually, and it was 8 separate episodes about China and the way and its cultural heritage through to the modern day. And they were talking about the West's problem with China, about its dictatorships, if you like, and the communism element, and the dictation of activity from government through to local government through to populace. And the woman there was an anglicized Chinese lady, and she said, but what you've forgotten is that the history of China is about singular characters who dictate policy that is implemented at the lower level. And it's been that way for 2,000 years.
Yeah.
And trying to change it with a Western ideal based on the fact that most of the population don't want that. And they don't want that freely. It's not they're being forced to not want that. They actually don't want that. Of their own free will, they don't want it. And you're forgetting that in the West. And it was a great series of podcasts. And I think there's a certain element of you know, brand cultures become widely global. Most definitely, widely global is not the right word, just global. But, I mean, you know, it's something that no one has said, well, hang on a second, what does this local population think of that? You go to Papua New Guinea or you go to some deserted island where you find someone in the Amazon and this guy's got, you know, a branch that's got iPhone carved in it. You're not going to enforce copyright there, ever.
Well, I mean, the other thing that, getting back to just this iPhone case thing is, you know, this company is really going to only be able to operate with that trademark inside China. So if they have bigger ambitions to sell those cases outside of China, Apple is going to be protected in the U.S. They are going to be protected in the U.K., you know. Yeah. So
it's only going to be in China where they're going to get the benefit.
Right.
Yeah, but, you know, at least the Chinese market isn't all that big. But there's another factor.
Not to minimize that, but I mean, the point is like if you're running a company and you care about, you know, taking your product outside of the country, you know, maybe they don't. Maybe, you know, like you said, it's a big market in China. But still, I mean, as far as people making a big deal about this being a problem for Apple, I don't see it as a huge issue.
And there's another historical factor here, too. The U.S. and Britain both, for instance, used strong protectionist laws in the 19th century, at least for here in the States, to allow our own industry to exist. And that was a big part of the friction between the U.S. and Britain during the 19th century, was Britain wanting us to supply them raw goods so that they could make us finished products so that they ship them back. And we address that through strong protectionist measures, and here we are in the 20th century and starting in the late, I'm sorry, the 21st century, starting in the late 20th century. Am I saying this right?
Yeah.
We get really upset when emerging markets try to do the same thing, when we wouldn't be where we are today. Both of our countries wouldn't be where we are today if we hadn't done this exact same sort of thing back in the day.
The funny thing is that we are, and I'm counting there, Europe and the US, we are still doing that. There are import taxes on certain things. I don't think we have it on electronics or not on everything right now, but there are taxes for, I mean, if you want to import something into our countries. So this is a protectionist measurement.
I don't think import taxes protectionist in the same way as Brian's just described.
Yeah, they're not to the same level, and we
not to the same level.
The whole issue with the most favored nation status, which gets granted to countries including China, which minimizes those taxes. Mm-hmm. So yeah, there's I think every country on the planet has some kind of protectionism in place, but we used to have it. In particular, in the United States, we used to have incredibly strong protectionist measures that allowed industry to get a foothold here in this country.
There we go. Mm-hmm. And if you're doing a degree or any other qualification in socio or economics or geography or that kind of stuff, don't quote any of the shit that's just been talked on this podcast for Christ's sake.
Yes, we have no idea what we're talking about.
Yes,
anyone absolutely. Anyone had to go and search today in the App Store?
Yeah. That's some of the problems may work today.
It's a bit fup, no question. Mm. Spotify gets you SoundCloud, but at least it starts with an S, eh?
How is that different than any other day?
Well, true. Doc stole me punchline a little bit in the pre-show, but I mean, my point would be I've never found anything that's worthwhile in the App Store via a search. And the interesting thing was the Alien anthology was a tenner this week in the UK store. And I was sitting watching the TV, the wife's off making a cup of tea, so it's all on pause. And I look at my iPhone, there's a comment in there from Adam in the Slack room saying, Alien thing, 10 quid, like, brilliant, great. So I went on Apple TV, I'm just going to buy this straight away, it's not a no-brainer, all four, and couldn't find it. No matter what I put in as a search term, and what I typed in as a search term, I could not find Alien Anthology, and I had to get, in the end, the Slack room to post me a link, and I had to buy it on my phone, and when I finished buying it on my phone, I just did, you know, menu on the Apple TV, bang, it's in my purchases. But could I find it? I could not find it.
Maybe this is what that secret team of several hundred engineers is working on.
Oh, right. Mate, they're not. They're playing cards, dude. You know they are.
Tons of cards.
No, I mean, maybe this is the feature they've been working to introduce.
It's the feature they need to start working on.
You can't find shit. You know what you're looking for.
Mm-hmm.
I've got to say, actually, as well, this week, I just want to point this out. I had awesome service from Apple phone support in Ireland. If you, the guy that was listening, that sorted me out, if you're listening, thank you, mate. You were brilliant. My mum and dad have got an Apple TV that's in my name, and they wanted to watch American Sniper. Couldn't find it anywhere. I went to try and buy it, and I couldn't rebuy it. There was nothing, absolutely nothing. And I didn't even know this existed. Apparently, if you go into your account on iTunes, there is a hidden content listing.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you go into hidden content, and iTunes puts shit there just for the fun of it. Just so so it can go, and stick two fingers up at you. And this guy went, hidden content? Yeah, it's American Sniper there. And it was there with three other movies.
It's probably because you have kids. Like, we wouldn't have that hidden in the movie.
No. No one's done this. This is, it did it by, I sound like my mother now with IT. It just did it. No one's done
I've had similar things happen, and the only thing I can think of is either it's doing it itself, like you said, and it's a bug, or I somehow at some point did some weird thing and it hid the thing, because there's no other explanation.
Well, there isn't a hide option anywhere. If I buy a movie, the only place I look at a movie is
on the Apple TV. I forget where it is, but...
But there's no hide thing to anyway. But great service, great customer service. Thank you very much.
There's one. If I think you can delete it or something, and then it's hidden basically.
You can't on the Apple TV because you can't delete it because it's not downloaded.
Not on the Apple TV.
I'm talking about. I only ever look at movies through the Apple TV. I never look at them through iTunes. It just did it. Honest. I mean, all of the stores are screwed as far as
well. That secret team decided you did not need to see that movie.
Exactly, no.
They turned it off for you. It's a feature.
I've had a bit of a whinge as well this week. And this is not an anti-greeny whinge, not by any stretch of the imagination. But I've sent an email to Apple because last week we posted a show, right? And we were like 20th in technology, and Green was down at 49. The following day, nothing had happened other than we'd finished posting our show and Greeny had, had not posted a show since fucking October. And Greeny's back up at 13.
I'm like, how is that possible?
How does that work? And we're down at 86.
I'm blaming the ghosts of Ironbridge.
What? How can that possibly be? I wrote them an email and the guy went, thank you for your comments. We note all comments from content providers. As in, piss off ranking. I just like, I don't want to get Greeny down in the rankings, but he's my kind of benchmark of, you know, so it, I got a guy who has posted two podcasts in 2 years and he's consistently, but anyway,
because he has no subscribers. So all he has to do is unsubscribe and then on his three machines, subscribe himself back in three different places. And then he's tripled his audience. So boom.
Right.
I've said before, everyone who listens to this show once a week on a Sunday, we need them to unsubscribe and resubscribe.
Unsubscribe on a Friday, resubscribe on a Sunday.
Yeah.
That's it. Friday's unsubscribe day, Sunday is resubscribe day.
Yeah, Apple's algorithm is a little
It's not that.
Skewed towards new subscribers.
It's not that, though. And it's
so now we're all going to be unsubs.
How has Greeny got more new subscribers with a podcast?
Again, based on it must be based on a percentage, is what I'm saying. Oh, so
it's screwed.
You have to add hundreds of new subscribers, whereas he has to add three, and his numbers have tripled.
I love Greeny to bits, and I would never wish for him to suffer at our end. But I just I say Greeny's podcast is a benchmark for how screwed up. Apple Pods. I looked up charts and he said, musical charts, current review. And I'm like, there we go, the word current. That's the word, current review.
Well, we're pretty close to getting stats, right? Aren't we now that Apple's sort of added iTunes Connect support for podcasts?
Well, I've always had download stats from Apple. On this, because your podcast manager application always did that. Sitemanager.podcast.apple.com or something like that.
Right.
Always got you in, and it gave you download stats. Apple is about 70% of my downloads. So there's no way Greeny's getting more downloads. He's not getting more new subscribers. He's not had a single review added in 2 years. So he's probably
someone within Apple likes Greeny's podcast and has put him on some kind of whitelist.
Apple's Greeny's bumming someone at Apple. That's all.
While he's talking about BlackBerry all the time.
Yeah.
Yes.
Love you, Greeny, if you're listening. Viv is coming, apparently. The thing that I love about this story, right, so Dag Kitlaus and Adam Clare, who were the co-founders of Siri, are now creating their new thing, and they're creating it and splurging it in a whole shitstorm of isn't this cool? You couldn't get Siri right. Siri is still a piece of shit in comparison to the Windows Cortana. And you're trying to produce this thing now and say it's brilliant? I don't think so. Any comments?
Well, you haven't seen it yet. How do you know?
I don't care.
Maybe it's the AI operating system from her.
I invented Siri is something that goes on a suicide note, not a CV.
What have you done lately, sir?
I've done plenty, but not in the sphere of creating a voice activated system that doesn't work.
All right, well let me I appreciate your cynicism and your jaded nonsense.
But British,
I have
dude.
Possibly a different way of looking at it. What if the problem with Siri is that he left and Apple finished it up?
So he left him with apples and they made custard tart.
Maybe, yeah. No, I mean, one of the reasons why he left is because Apple wanted to narrow the scope of what Siri was going to do. At least that's my understanding. And
to what work?
Viv is more in the line of what he intended to do.
Well, you know, to Brian's point, if you remember the app that was Siri prior to Apple snatching it up, and I completely forget the name of it, but I played with that app so much. It was so much fun. It actually kind of worked better until they botched it. And I totally forget what it was called prior to being Siri, but it wasn't Siri. Oh, yeah, and maybe it was called Iris, the voice search, or something like that. Anyway, it was this cool app, and you could be like, yo, I need a cab. Hey, I want to order a pizza. Hey, what's playing at the movies? And I used to use it all the time, and it worked relatively well. But I think part of that also was in that early days of it, you only had a couple million of us. If you really look at how many iPhones are out there and how many people are constantly yelling at it, and also that maybe the primary problem with Siri is the stuff that it has to call out for, and your connection could be God knows what when you go to call out. I think Siri functionally works okay when it has a great connection. I think most of the failures are shitty connection.
No, I'm sorry. I'm not having that.
You don't think so? Turn off your network and try use Siri and see what happens.
I got 4G at my ass, and I've sat there, and it's come out with the most unadulterated bollocks you've ever seen. And it doesn't like, hey, Siri... You know, hey Siri just does not work sometimes, and it's like you sit there.
Works great for me.
It's like weird. you just turned on my phone, so it works fine.
It works on Mola's iPad as well just now. But
it doesn't work for me on the iPhone. It works on the Apple Watch for some weird reason.
So I've just done Hey Siri. This morning I woke up.
Hey Siri.
I said Hey Siri, and
Hey Siri,
what time is it? And I got no bleep. I got no nothing. I got
Hey Siri, what time is it?
Absolute silence. And then Ellis asked the question at breakfast, and I did, hey Siri. And lo and behold, absolutely sod all, nothing. And then all of a sudden it'll work for no apparent reason. It's the glitchiest piece of crap I've ever seen. And a lot of the results that it comes back with just aren't simply good enough. And in terms of where the iPhone thinks I live, I've never got a reminder for when I get home, do the following. Because it thinks I live round the corner in a completely different street.
Apple needs to get into search, and the reason why Apple needs to get into search in part is so that they have search data to make Siri better. I feel very strongly about this.
I tend to agree with you. Well, we already know that their search capabilities are horrible, because try to find an app in an app store or a movie on the movie store is better now a little bit. But I do think it's the connectivity, Ewan, because when I'm somewhere where I got a really fast connection, Siri seems to be semi flawless. Whenever I'm stuck to the outside network, the one that belongs to AT&T, it's 50-50. And AT&T will give you things where you have 5 bars and still drop a call. I think the bar meter is technically a horrible explanation of how good your quality of signal, because you can get a lot of bad signal and that causes 5 bars. And you can have 2 bars of extremely perfect signal and everything is fine. So I think the bar meter is a bad judgment. We need to come up with a different system.
There was an article a couple of years ago about why you shouldn't trust the bar signal.
Yeah, that's what I think I read that.
Why it didn't work, yeah.
Which is why I switched to this. You can switch to the number setting.
You can?
Yeah, there's some, you have to enter some code, some specialized code, and then you get into the, I think, the field testing mode, and that shows you the, well, the dampening.
They got into your bank account.
No.
I got a text this morning from someone that said, oh, we're Apple. Someone's tried to log in your account too many times. We suspended your account. So I went on to click this link to rectify this, of course. I didn't click the link because I wasn't stupid enough to. Then I went into my account on when I got to work, and it was just like, no, it's fine. What are you talking about? Watch out for erroneous text that no matter how hard you look, you cannot find them not to be Apple. They say they're Apple. They look like Apple. They spawn like Apple, but they aren't. Bastards.
Always check the link.
Is this it?
Yep.
I'm do it right now.
There we go. See the actual signal strength on your iPhone with this quick tweet with hyphens between every word on Lifehacker. Tim, we want to change the world through our products. Tim went on Mad Money. Anyone watch this? Because we don't get this in the UK, so I can't.
I used to watch it when I was heavy into the stock market, but then Jim just started to get on my nerves just because it just became a big...
Is this the guy that just shouts all the time?
Huh?
Is this the guy that just shouts all the time?
Yeah. He's kind of a douche.
Yeah. He's been on a couple of films, hasn't he? And he comes across as a bit of a wanker. Was Tim any good, though?
I think so.
I, Yeah, everyone says, yeah. I didn't get a chance to watch it. I just been listening to what, you know, the various tech people are talking about it. You know, I think really Tim does believe that he is changing the world. And I think it's weird to be in the position of making a metric crap ton of money and still trying to be altruistic slash philanthropic slash not coming off as a money grubbing douche. Most people at the top of the food chain in these companies tend to be that way. So it's very easy not to believe Tim, but just look at him. He looks like me grand. I just said something British. Holy shit.
No, there's a certain element of Tim Cook that's Mrs. Doubtfire. There's no question.
Yeah, yeah, that's what I'm saying.
But the thing that always bothers me about these kind of stories, and I'll lay this open because I haven't seen the interview and I don't want to know, you know, I do want to know, but it's not me knowing the answer to the question that I'm asking. The problem with Tim Cook when he goes onto shows like this is he speaks but says nothing. And there is nothing in any of the media outlets that come out that say anything. They're just...
You're so wrong.
No, he talks about rhetoric. He doesn't talk about action. He doesn't give figures. He doesn't give numbers.
He's a very precise and controlled speaker, and he has a message. And when he wants that message delivered, he delivers it. And when he speaks, every single word that he says is a considered and chosen word. Which is just absolutely remarkable to me. But he's also a man of specific subtlety. And, I mean, like, people who don't read people very well don't see his passion and don't see his anger and don't necessarily even see his happiness because he is so understated compared to most other folks. But it's all there. And the messages are there too. It's controlled. It's not marketing speak. It's controlled. By the way, it's funny. Should we listen to Apple Context Machine that we put up yesterday with John Keat as our guest? He was arguing essentially the same thing that you're arguing.
I agree with you, Brian. I think he's so well and reserved that a lot of times his maybe pure feelings don't come across as easy. And I think you run into that a lot, even with leaders, you know, presidents and senators and whatnot, when they're not doing things they're not supposed to be doing, because they're trying to give off the right look for the press. But at the same token, they feel deeply about something. And every once in a while, one of these guys will lose it at an event. And then everybody's so shocked by that. And I'm like, there are people too, you know, only so long you can kick them before they snap back, you know?
Adam, you would have watched this potentially. Have you got any thoughts?
I haven't had a chance to watch it yet, which is why I've been somewhat quiet on this. Mm-hmm. I always feel that I'm kind of in the camp with Brian as well. I think Tim Cook is, when he speaks, is very deliberate about how he goes about talking about things. And
I can't disagree with what the statement he has to say. That he's deliberate and measured. My point is, you look at the things that come out, and then they are statements without real... meaning or content. You know, Apple has always stood for building the best products on earth that enrich people's lives. That's a mission statement. It's not. It's
right.
There's no insight there. He didn't need to go on TV to say shit like that.
He said other things too.
No.
It's okay to repeat the mission statement. I mean, if that is what Apple is about, then there's value for Apple itself in it.
A lot of times, too, these are responses to questions that Apple deliberately is not going to answer or will not answer.
Yeah. So don't go on TV and make yourself look bland and boring.
Okay, you didn't watch it. Go watch it and then tell me that.
No, is there a scenario if Tim doesn't go out, it looks like the CEO that's not being the spokesman, not presenting his company. If he goes out and covers the mission statement, but actually doesn't go into detail. Maybe this is Tim's double down on secrecy. Everybody else can talk about it, but not him. And he goes on there. He doesn't give you the what, and therefore gets the criticism for it.
Yeah, but didn't Steve Jobs do that too? I mean, he would dodge certain answers, and I mean, even change the topic sometimes.
Well, that's politicians. I mean, that's
The CEO is a politician.
So. Yeah, no,
CEO is definitely a politician.
Yeah.
But I mean, there's a point here that says in Deep Pan says Jim Cramer does a great impression of being a shit TV presenter, and Hanshaw says I cut my cable completely. I don't watch crap news presenters anymore. I just do articles on the internet. No idea why Tim Cook went on the program. Apple haven't been interested in what analysts think for a long time, says Dave. And I totally agree. Mm-hmm. I don't think Jim Cramer's got a great reputation. I'm in the UK. I very, very rarely see anything he's done, and what I have seen looks like a complete tosspot. In which case, why would you go on it? And why would you say anything? And why would you go on it and not say anything? You don't go on a shit TV program with a crap presenter to talk about nothing.
Yes,
he went on it because the stock price went up a bit after he went on it.
There you go. Well,
thank you, some honesty. There we go.
He also went on it because Cramer's program is watched,
the most watched,
right?
Number
yeah,
one.
That's, yeah.
He has a he actually has a record of accomplishment, including a record of some negativity, including owning up to the fact that when he was a hedge fund guy, he talked about how he specifically fomented Apple stock in particular. It's probably misplaced to dismiss either the show or Cramer's influence.
I've got to say.
Just a question. Why do you think any CEO does things like that? Because they feel they have something to say. But at the end of the day, it comes down to the presenter and the editing, whether that is transported correctly or even is interesting.
So true.
Fair point.
So true.
Fair point. But I mean, the comment about Steve Jobs being like Bobby Kennedy and Dr. King, I mean, steady on. Steady on, for Christ's sake. That's where you lost me. Oh, man.
Mm.
Making consumer electronics is nothing like Bobby Kennedy or Dr. King. I really promise you that.
Yeah.
That's a leap. Possible iPhone 7 headphone jack. Didn't do the graphic. Never mind. There's going to be a headphone jack in the iPhone 7. What do you reckon, fellas?
Who cares?
Oh, give over. I care.
I don't care left or right whether to get rid of it. I kind of wish it would go away, as I recently just fished one out of a broken device because some person sat on it with the thing in it. I kind of want them to go, honestly. But at the same token, it's not that big a deal for me because the headphone connector is shit anyway.
So why do you care, Ewan?
Yep.
What?
I'm not using it anymore.
What? Because I'm an old fart and I'm a Luddite and I like carrying a set of headphones around with me, and I've paid good money for some decent monitor earphones to carry with me on the tube.
So you don't use your Bluetooths?
I don't use Bluetooth that much.
Now. I use this, so I don't.
I don't like Bluetooth either because the audio fidelity is horrible. Unfortunately, I'm still pretty well tuned ears, but I have like Ewan said, I have a whole heap of great headphones. But I just that's a connector that I really hate. I've always hated it. You know, I'm an XLR guy, but I don't want an XLR on my iPhone. So I just want something that comes out of the Lightning that will give me my audio file fidelity that doesn't require me to have to force great audio through that crappy ass 3.5 millimeter connector.
Yep.
So I've got some Bluetooth headphones, Plantronic ones. They've only got about an hour and a half to 2 hours battery life on it, so they're not good enough for a trip down to London and back on the train. So I don't use those because of that, but they sound okay. They're not brilliant. The ones that actually sound quite nice are the 20-hour anchors that I bought the other week that were recommended by Jason Hooper. They sound great, but I don't know what it is, whether it's my ears or whether it's someone else's, but I've got the smallest earbuds on them that I can, and when I push them into my ears so that I can hear it on the train, they feel like I'm shoving like my thumb in there. They're huge, and my ears really hurt at the end of an hour, so I can't put them back in on the way home. And
that's bad.
And I hate them. And I've got some beautifully, I've got some lovely monitor earphones that sit into my ears that I can put on and I can plug in, and I really value me headphones.
I'm really sat on the fence on these. I've got these little Bose ones that I use, and I've had these probably for two years now. And I love these headphones. I use them at work for conference calls. The sound's not bad out of them to say it's a 3.5 mil jack. I'm no audiophile, so I'm not looking for top end quality. But I love the quality. But I've got the anchor ones that you've got, and I've got a couple of other Bluetooth ones, and I kind of switch between them. These for definite are the comfiest ones. if we lost the 3.5, so long as if they're putting it on a Lightning adapter or a USB-C or whatever the route to go, if I can get an adapter, I'm not too worried about that. If it ended up switched to Bluetooth, I think I'd probably adapt my listening style.
Yeah.
So see how we go from there. But I'm sat on the fence.
I'm mad enough with my Beats, Power Beats, because I can wear them all day around my neck when I'm not using them. And I mean, for podcasts, it doesn't really matter how good they are or not. I mean, I've listened to some music, I don't hear any difference, but for podcasts, it doesn't matter. They could be $10, it wouldn't matter.
I've been testing, this is a Audie's L8 Titaniums, they're planar magnetic headphones, and they're off the charts amazing. And they shipped it with a Lightning connector. I've actually been testing out headphones with a Lightning connector, and I won't say yet that it sounds better with Lightning instead of the, because
it's only 3.5 million
included though. A regular connector too. But I will say that when your device is running low on power, this doesn't do much good.
Right.
And so, I mean,
draw like, power.
We'll need some kind of pass-through device that allows charging and audio if Apple is going to get rid of the headphone connector. But from a fidelity standpoint, those are amazeballs.
Maybe that's what stymied it. Maybe they had run down this Lightning connection or USB-C connection at the base of the 7 and then realized that the power consumption was going to be too great, so they've had to step back and go to a 3.5 mil.
So there's a Philips Fidelio. What's the Fidelio? There's a Philips ML2 headphones that have the Lightning connector. And Brian, please post a link into that audience. I'm curious to try it.
Mm. Right, we'll go for it. We'll see. Never mind. Last story then. Cupertino Mayor Barry Chang is not an Apple fanboy. Apparently he went into the Apple HQ and was escorted out by Apple security because he didn't have an appointment. He's the mayor of the city that Apple resides in. But Adam, you were saying this is to do with they gave him some tax breaks, and now their tax breaks are at an end, and they want them to come back and give them more money. And Apple.
Well, they're not at an end. They have a tax break, and the citizens of the city are saying, "Hey, the roads are bad. We've got traffic congestion problems. We've got things that you need to address." And Apple's our biggest corporate citizen, and they make tons of money. You should do something about this.
It's more than that, Adam. A lot of the congestion, a lot of the wear and tear on the roads, a lot of the infrastructure problems are actually being caused by Apple's presence.
Right. But, you know, originally there was a deal done, and I think still in place. And so, and everybody does this. I mean, this is a common thing in the United States. Companies go to cities or states and ask for tax incentives to run their business in the state. And it usually comes in the form of breaks on property taxes. But they still employ a lot of people. They still pay employment taxes, payroll taxes, all kinds of other taxes that generate revenue. And even the mayor, you know, admits, I think Apple generates like 20% of the revenue for the city of Cupertino. So it's more, he's trying to go in there and just see if he can talk to Apple to find out, hey, can you guys, we've got these problems. You know, I don't think Apple's under any obligation. They're not trying to impose any new sanctions on Apple or try to go back on their original tax breaks. But they're
looking, he is actually, Adam. He's proposing a $1,000 per head employee tax for companies of over 100 employees.
Right.
His stated position is that companies should be paying more taxes in order to support the communities that they're in. It's a position I happen to agree with. I'm actually sick to death of companies like Apple, Samsung, Intel, Microsoft, Yahoo, any of the huge wealthy tech companies in particular, and all companies do this in the States, pitting one government against another until shopping around for the best deal.
Well, why wouldn't you do that?
When you're in
though,
a community and you are taking part in that community, and the kids of your employees are going to school in that community, and your people are driving to work on roads in that community, and you're shopping at stores in that community, you need to pay your fair share, and that includes rich corporations, and I think this is a huge problem in the States.
I agree, 100%. Because one of the things that they've been getting away with forever, and in a minute, Tim has been like one of the only guys who has come out on the record. Like
getting away with. I mean, no, these are things that they go in and they ask for these things and they're given them by the city councils.
So I was going to say, Tim is the one person who said, I do this because they allow me, but if I didn't have this opportunity, I'd be more than happy to bring it back. But as a person who runs a publicly shared company, I have a fiduciary responsibility to include save money on taxes, which is why our money is in Ireland. But if those laws went away and those loopholes that Reagan put in place in 84 plus, they went away, he'd happily come back and pay that share directly in the U.S. He said it point blank on the last big interview.
That is an empty promise.
I have a problem with the word happily. I mean, he may have even said happily, but I don't think they're going
to
be happy about it.
That's an empty promise because he hasn't got to do it.
It's not an empty promise. They don't have to worry about saying that, UN, because it's not going to happen. Like, right.
That's an empty promise. That's exactly the definition of an empty promise. I don't know.
I thought empty promise is you promise knowing that you're never going to do it, but he just knows he's never going to have to do it. I think that's a little different, but yeah, same thing.
Okay, well, at least we're agreed on that then.
Semantics.
Yeah. He's not going to do it, so he can say he's willing to do anything he likes because he's never going to do it anyway.
So, I don't know.
You know, it's like telling your old lady I'd walk to the moon for you. Sure, it's easy to say that because your ass can't walk to the moon. It's kind of the same thing.
Go on, Brian,
what were you saying?
When Tim says things like that, I believe he's speaking truthfully.
Yeah.
I think he's speaking truthfully too, but I'm just saying because he knows he doesn't have to ever back it up. But
that's the point. He'll say, I'd do this gladly until I don't have to do this. And then the law will change and he has to do it. And he goes, okay, I said I'd do this and I'm doing it now. Mm. Which he would have done anyway. I mean, I think there's the city has got a proportion of the responsibility and the duty to stand by the frigging promises it made. If you're going to be here for 10 years, if you're going to be here for 20 years, 30 years, 50 years, and we give you a tax break for being here for 50 years, then we can't bleat after 25 years that we haven't got enough money anymore.
Well,
we made the deal. I'm sorry.
To be fair, they're not. I don't think they're going back on their deal. Like Brian, you were saying, they're proposing a different tax. Yeah. On a different part of the business that wasn't part. I mean, like I said, typically it's the property taxes that the company gets the break on. And we're talking about employment taxes going up here. And so the city does have, you know, they can decide to put forth proposals to say, hey, we're going to impose a $1,000 per head, you know, employment tax.
Yeah, watch my left hand because I'm going to punch him in my right.
By the way, Apple, in response to that, said that they are Cupertino's biggest taxpayer, and they are paying tens of millions of dollars to Cupertino each year. Well,
sure, so
it's
but
not
I mean
that they're not paying anything.
Yeah, no, they're paying. But
maybe not enough.
No, hold on. They're paying $9 million, I think, in the year that was cited by The Guardian, and that's 18% of Cupertino's revenues. If that's not enough money to actually pay for the infrastructure that Apple's presence demands, what difference does it make that they're already paying a lot of money?
And how much did the pay?
$9 million is not a lot when you're sitting on that many billions. That's not even a fart.
Yeah,
no, especially here in Silicon Valley.
But that's this, not
and
this.
And how much did they pay in terms of plannings and stuff like that in terms of the new campus? Surely that's all gone into the local coffers.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like the furniture in Tim's office in Campus 2 will cost well above $9 million. So saying $9 million in taxes sound great on paper, but that's really nothing.
Deepak in the chat room says, when Mr. Chang was being lifted and escorted from the premises, did he say that they were holding him wrong? jolly good. Well, go on.
Sorry, I was just going to add, Adam. I mean, we're moving on, so I don't want to...
Last word. Go on.
No, I was just going to point out that, you know, I mean, I, as a citizen, you know, have lived in places here in California and had to pay what's called Melrose on properties that I've owned, which is higher taxes than my neighbors pay because the developer came in and they built a new, you know, neighborhood and they put in infrastructure and they had to put in schools and things like that. And so the city negotiates with them and says, okay, if you want to do this, you've got to pay for this infrastructure. Well, it ultimately comes down to then they pass that on to the end consumer and say, look, you got new infrastructure for this part of the city and you have to pay your taxes. So, you know, why wasn't something like that done? And maybe it was for Apple's campus. I don't know. But, I mean, those are the kinds of things that should have also been looked into. But, again, I think if they go in and Apple makes a deal and the city gives them all kinds of breaks, that's really not on Apple. That's bad dealings by the city, and the taxpayers need to go and with their vote the next time and say, look, you guys can't do these kinds of deals anymore. We're not going
to. Apple and every other corporation that asks for this stuff bears some culpability for asking.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, absolutely. The cities and the counties and the states in this country that do these deals that are so excited about getting a corporation in that they're willing to do it at a loss, they also bear culpability. But I don't think that we should write off any given person or corporation's responsibility to do the right thing, even when it's not required by law.
Law is the law. I mean,
if you're expecting a corporation,
no, you guys missed Brian's point. He says even when it's not required by law, it's called just being a generally good citizen.
You know, I'm not going to pit Cupertino against San Jose, or I'm not going to pit New York against California. It's just not going
to
happen.
Yeah. No. Yeah. Mm. If I was big enough as an organization to say, right, I'm going to stay in Birmingham. Do you want me to stay in Birmingham? And the city council are going to give me a tax break for that. So I should ask. So what? If they want me to move, I'll move. I'll go to somebody who wants me more. But we don't get that problem in the UK because we're not federalized, whereas the problem is you are federalized. So therefore, each local government has this ability to do that and has the ability to tell you that you can sod off if you want to. And then Apple's got to sit there and go, well, Cupertino's told to sod off. We've bought a new campus. We've got to walk away from that. It's $1.5 billion. And they don't. They sign up to deals, and the deals have got to be honored until they've come to an end. And then, you know, this is a tax through a back door. Anyway, Adam had the last word.
You can sod off if you want to. You can leave your friends behind. Sorry, I had a minute. Sorry. Minute Work song.
It's not Minute Work.
Sure it is. Minute Work. You can dance. I just changed it to You Can Sod Off.
Was that Temple Tudor? No, not Temple Tudor.
Men at Work.
It wasn't.
We can go where we want to. The night is young and so am I. And we can dress real neat from a hat to a feet and surprise them with a big trick ride. Men at Work, damn it.
You can dance if you want to.
Men at Work, dude, come on.
No, it's not Men at Work.
It is not Men at Work.
It's not Men at Work. I'm right.
Okay. I'm going to pull the song right off of YouTube because I swear I grew up in high school listening to that song.
Can we please bet right now, right this very second?
Right, we need someone to, while I do the advert, someone needs to find out who that is. Men Without Hats.
Men Without Hats, sorry. Okay, my bad.
I done dark.
I was there, but I said it wrong. Okay, I win. I mean, you win.
You got it wrong. I said that. I got it right. Don't try and backpedal. No, you got it wrong. I beat you.
I just misspoke, but you know what I meant.
I'm an English fat bloke, and I beat an American DJ.
On an Australian kind.
It's not Australian.
They're not?
Men at Work is Australian.
Men at Work's Australian. Men Without Hats is English, I think. But that even I could be wrong there. But I admit when I could be wrong, as opposed to you who pursues the wrong answer when you know you're wrong and I'm right.
You win. But I still have such a great ear, though. Thank you, D-Pan. Never mind what you insist.
This podcast nearly is brought to you by UK2. They looked after it a long, long time. We love them to bits. Please support them because they support us. We've got a brand new server. Our website friggin' flies at the moment. It really does. It's unbelievably fast. They moved us over to new infrastructure, all the stuff. No data loss at all, apart from the fact that we've got a slight problem with the chat stuff. But that's that. We don't know why that is. It might be us, it might be them, but we can't get to the bottom of it at the moment. So there we go. Please support UK2. They've been absolutely wonderful supporters of BTN. If you want anything for the web at all, VPS, VPN, web hosting, domain names, co-location services, all of that kind of stuff, then check out UK2 because they're just bloody awesome. And Hoya as well. Hoya are fantastic. They've got brand new glasses out at the moment. They've got good virtual reality technology that I've had to play with. Actually, it's the only time that I've seen anything that looks really decent for VR. And they support us. If you want to know about getting really great glasses, I am modelling the Aventec glasses now as we speak. There we go. They are superb. They could pick a better model than me. But they're awesome, and they really support us because they donated to the Mac Mini Fund. We are nearly at our third. We've got like $10 or £10 or something stupid to get our third Mac Mini. That's all there is. And I need to add another Mac Mini on the top of the graphic, yes or no. But there we go. We are nearly there. So if you'd like to donate, then please send us a donation through bageltechnews@gmail.com on PayPal. And if you'd like to support us on Patreon, give us a regular monthly donation, then please go ahead and send it to us. Go to patreon.com/BritishJetNetwork and sign up. And if you'd like to leave us a review, we'll read it out. It doesn't matter what it is, but if it's good or it's bad, we'll still read it out. It's not a problem. And stick a review on iTunes. That makes a massive difference to our rankings. And also, if you've got a review already on there, go back and change it and resubmit it. And that may do something. Who knows? Because the iTunes charts are screwed, as far as I'm concerned. There we go. The men at work were from Australia, and men without hats were from...
Canada.
Were they Canada? Bloody hell, Canada.
What?
French Canada. Canada, right? Montreal. Quebec.
Well, there we go. Brilliant.
Iguan Quebec.
Time for the cool thing. Mr. Chaffin, what do you have for us? Stick a link in the chat room, mate.
A cool thing, right?
You forgot. Do you want me to come back to you?
No, I'm good. So, right, this is a battery charger thing, right?
Yep.
Do you know the guys at Mimico?
Nope.
They do, let me actually drop that.
They make like little cool Star Wars USB drives.
Yeah, they license tons of IP from Star Trek to Star Wars to comic book stuff. To Einstein's head, to Hello Kitty, and they put it on chargers, USB drives, in the most adorable way that you can possibly imagine. I love these guys. I love their product. I love their design aesthetics. You're paying for the licensing, so like I got this on special from Amazon for like $10. And the same device that looks like a Stormtrooper or R2-D2 is going to cost you $20. So, you know, that's a thing. But they're adorable.
Okay. And you've put a link in the chat room then?
Yep.
Mimoco. MIMOCO.com. Excellent. Good pick. Thank you, mate. Adam, what do you have for us?
So, like I said, I was trying to check the chat earlier. Did I talk last time, or did anybody talk about filters for photos from the guys over at MacFun?
We've talked about MacFun a lot because they sponsored us for a little while, and they were superb. We love them to bits.
Right. So last week they put out a set of free filters for the Mac. So this is a little standalone app that you can get called Filters for Photos. And I think you get 13 photos for free. If you're willing to give them your email address to sign up for their email list, they give you another 15 filters. So you get 30 free photo effects filters. And it's just a simple drag and drop. You grab a photo, you drop it on there, you pick the filter that you want. It's got, most of them only have two little controls, so you can kind of adjust it. It's a quick and dirty, apply a filter, and then they have sharing out to all your social media networks, Twitter and Facebook and email, and so, you know, it's like a quick 1-2, I want to apply kind of a filter effect to a photo. But what kind of puts it over the top is, again, it's consumer facing, so it also exists as an extension, a Mac extension for the Photos app. So you can actually run this right from inside Photos. So if you go into your system preferences, into the extensions, under Photos, you can just flip it on once you've downloaded the free software. And then inside the Photos app, when you click on edit, you can just edit. You can go right into Filters for Photos. And all the photos, all the filters also have masking. So you can actually selectively apply your filters a simple masking tool. And once you've applied the mask, you can switch between the different filters. It will retain your masking. You can turn it on and off. And it's just a quick, dirty little filter thing, and it's awesome. I mean, they look great.
Are they decent? Huh? Because MacFun do great stuff. I'm not suggesting one thing otherwise than that. They are absolutely brilliant. But the instant filter market has traditionally been crap. But the masking sounds really good. Are these really good filters on top?
Yeah, I mean,
they look nice.
They've got some art effects. They've got more traditional like sepia tone effects, and then they've got really wild out there effects. There's 30 of them. I mean, again, this is a very much a consumer, you know, this is the person who likes to use the filters in Instagram or any of the other filters thing. So it's their own version of it. Mm-hmm. The thing that puts it over the top for me, again, is if you're a Photos user, if you use Photos, It's integrated into it. So it's nice and handy. You want to apply, you know, a quick sepia tone or a black and white filter or some sort of art filter to your thing before you, you know, post it to your Facebook. Here's a quick and dirty, easy way to do it in about 2 seconds and you're done. I mean, it's not like their pro filters, you know, that you're going to use in Photoshop or something like that. This is definitely targeted at the consumer.
The duotone, you know, this is, stuff looks really cool.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's fun and it's free. I mean,
yeah, no, it's
30 free filters.
Brilliant.
So
good pick. Doc, what have you got for us, mate?
This is going to be kind of crazy, but you know, everybody's been talking about all of the whole cord cutting and going back and forth and whatever. And something that I didn't do for the longest time because I just thought it was kind of stupid, but I finally decided to try it is HBO Now. Because yes. Game of Thrones new series came out and I was just happened to be going around doing my, you know, poking the pig, you know, talking about what's going to happen kind of stuff. And I saw somebody linked up that if you want, sign up for HBO Now because the first month is free and that'll get you through almost halfway of the Game of Thrones season without having to wait for the iTunes downloads. So I was like, okay, cool. You know, Mueller, Game of Thrones requires a little bit of intelligence, so it might not be your kind of show. You should stick to the rug bowl. Anyway, so HBO Now is epic. It streams, on my TV at least, it streams in 4K. It's really, really fast. The Xbox One app's a little crappy, but the Apple TV and the iPhone and the iPad app so far have been beautiful. Yeah. And I'm surprised at the quality and speed. Like, I thought this, I wouldn't keep it. I would just, you know, use it to get a couple of episodes of Game of Thrones, but I also use it to finally catch up on Silicon Valley, and I can't believe I slept on this show. The show is awesome.
So
my picks are HBO Now, and if for nothing else, if you don't like Game of Thrones because you're not that cool, then watch Silicon Valley and just laugh your butt off, especially if you've ever dealt with startups.
I love the fact, dude, that you picked Game of Thrones, which is a show that was made.
I didn't pick Game of Thrones, damn it. I said HBO Now and Silicon Valley. Back the hell off. Let me finish.
So you love Game of Thrones.
When it was
a show that was made to show shagging, nothing else. And then you've tried to show the intellect. It's like buying Playboy for the articles, mate.
Yeah, whatever. Either way, Game of Thrones is still the number one show in the world, so who cares what you two think? But, yeah, Silicon Valley is amazing. It's amazing, and it's funny because you can align all the stories to tech.
He reckons he needs a higher intelligence to watch Game of Thrones, and as soon as I come back with he just throws the number one stat at me. It's like, number one stat, dude.
That's really intelligent. Here, let me disconnect this real quick. Let me show you how this is done.
I'll just add on the HBO Now thing, because I picked it up because I wanted to do the whole Game of Thrones and Silicon Valley thing as well. But I've stuck with it because I'm always finding other content stuff on there. They have a lot of great documentaries. Yes. There's a bunch of other series like that go back in their old back catalog. And so I'm constantly getting, you know, the $15 value out of it every month. And they get some pretty good, you know, kind of recent movies on there.
Yeah. I'm blown away by it. I really, really did. I thought I would just use this to pilfer the Game of Thrones and I'd get rid of it, but I'm probably stuck to HBO Now for now because it's pretty awesome. Yeah.
I mean, I probably save the $15 on rentals that I don't get from iTunes because I catch them on HBO Now.
The other thing is that's what it costs here for the cable bill, so it's the same thing, but at least it's a little bit faster than the other HBO Go. Easy, Ewan.
I think I got two on this line. Patrice, what have you got for me, mate?
I'm going to pick an app that just released a new version of it, Hazel. If you have no idea what Hazel is, it's really
Noodlesoft. A
script automation tool or a folder-based automation tool for your Mac. So basically you can give it folders and say, every file that gets in there, is in there, whatever you do with it, do these five things with it. For example, it cleans up my desktop. Whenever I take a screenshot, after half an hour, it deletes it. Because if I haven't removed it after half an hour, I don't need it. Or my download folder, all downloads get deleted. Or I have special folders for all invoices I get in that are automatically scanned. It detects what kind of invoice it is and then puts it in the correct folder, all of that. And they have a new version that is, I would say, a little bit nicer. It now syncs Hazelroot, so you don't have to do it manually anymore. It has a preview mode, so you can see what your rules will be doing, all of that. So it's just a really, really nice app, and it's not that expensive. I can't remember what the full price is, probably £30 or something. But you can get it, or $30, I don't know. You can get it if you have a previous version. You can get the new version for $10. So it's just a great app. I like it, and it's easy to use. So it's not that you have to be a nerd like me to really use it. You can get up and running with it within, I would say, even minutes, because it's simple enough.
Excellent.
Powerful, but simple enough.
Excellent pick. Good man. And Camps.
Yeah, my pick just gone in the chat room, so I think this is probably fifth anchor product that I've picked. I've been looking around for a couple of guys at work needed some battery cases for their iPhones. So I know that you use the Mophie, Ewan.
I do.
Listened to a few people who use the Apple case, and they were fairly happy with it. But I stumbled on this one, the Anker 6S battery case. It's a 2,850 milliamp hour capacity, so it's got about 120%. It shows on the Amazon link. So $29.99. It's on Prime. Clip off top and bottom. Slot the phone in. Clip it back in. It's nice slim design. Doesn't add a great deal of bulk to the phone, which I really like. Love Anker products anyway. And at $29.99, thought fantastic price for that. So I got them in. I had a little play with them, passed them out to the guys that I've ordered them from. I've ordered myself one, it's due tomorrow, but absolutely, really, really impressed with it. It's got a higher milliamp hour battery than the Apple case. I'm not sure what your Mophie is and how it ranks against that, but against quite a few of the others that I'm looking at, it rates really well.
And my Mophie's a bit shit.
£30 for anchor, I'm really impressed.
Yeah, my Mophie's a bit shit, mate. It's not doing too well.
Yeah. No, I'm impressed with this one. It does what I need it to do. It's Anker, so we know and we recognise the brand. I'm really happy with them. So, yeah, if anybody's in the market for one, this is certainly one to consider.
Excellent, good one, nice pick. Cool. Where can we get a hold of you, Brian?
After I unmute, you can get a hold of me at the Twitter. TM O'Brien, that's Brian with a Y. I am at macobserver.com, and you can find my personal blog, such as it is, at geektells.com, T-E-L-L-S.
Excellent, mate. Thank you very much. Adam, where are you, sir?
You can find me over at maccast.com or maccast on iTunes. I also do the iOS show at theiosshow.com with Jeff Gamet and Michael Johnston. And you can find me as on social media as MacCast pretty much everywhere.
Good man. Where are you, Doc?
You can find me on the internet at Doc Rock and a couple times a week on this very neat work.
And sticking pins in an effigy of me.
Nah, I don't do that. I go straight for just take a wee on it.
Oh, good man. That's why I wake up in the middle of the night choking. And Patrice, where are you?
In a few minutes on the Big Show, every week on the Mac Show here, and on Twitter at Carol_Kitchen, and everything I do, you can find on thepatrice.com.
He gets a day off and he podcasts twice in one day. Good lad.
Yeah.
And Camps?
Generally on the Big Show, Thursday nights. I'll be back in a few minutes, same as Patrice. Occasionally on the Mac Show, Campion UK on Twitter, and generally loitering somewhere around in the Slack room as well.
Excellent. My name's Ewan Rankin. You can get me at Ewan Rankin on Twitter. You can join the Slack room if you want to come in. Send me an email to britishtechnetwork@gmail.com saying, little pig, let me in. And well done to, I can't remember his name. He joined this evening. But he sent me an email titled, little pig, let me in. Good lad. You're in. Well done. And also, you can get me talking in the Slack room. Yeah, well, we're praying for some more Apple news for next week. But in the meantime, have a great week. Thanks for listening.